Hi, I'm Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater, and thank you so very much for asking me to share my story. Just to identify or qualify, I have six and a half years of abstinence and physical recovery of approximately 40 kilograms, which is 88 pounds. So my story breaks basically up into three different parts. The first part is what it was like before I came into these rooms. And that was a life of a person who really just didn't know how to live life. And I discovered food as what I thought was a solution to the discomfort that I had with living life. So food wasn't my problem. Food was my solution to my problem, and my problem was living life. And I just remember being ill at ease and having difficulties being happy living life right from the earliest days. And that manifested in all sorts of things. I was incredibly fearful. Used to just clutch onto my mother. I was terrified of social, events. I went to a social thing with my family, and I was just sitting there clutching onto my mother, and she said, "Just go and play with the other children." And I just couldn't do it. I was just absolutely terrified. And as I got older, I found other unhelpful ways of just coping with life, as well as food. I had limited access to food, so I didn't go all out into the food in the early days. But I at school I sort of found out that I had a real talent for schoolwork, so I loved schoolwork, so I threw myself into that and used that as a way of propping up my ego and trying to feel good about myself. And I would use that against other people, and so cutting down and shredding other people and being sarcastic and being better and arrogant, better than other people, and being arrogant and nasty to other people, and eventually just turning into a bully. So I just developed all of these unhelpful ways of dealing with life. And as I got into adulthood, I relied very heavily on, being a star performer at work, and getting lots of career advancements, and doing well, et cetera, getting lots of promotions. And that's how I lived my life. And that may relate. Some of you may relate to that, and some of you may have no, identification with that, whatever. But the important thing that, makes me a member of these rooms is that, once I started to depend on food, I gradually got to the stage where I just could not control my eating. And that was something that happened progressively. It got progressively worse over time. When I was young, when I was a teen, I was able to stick to a diet, and I was able to lose weight, and I was able to control my eating. But that changed over time. It just got gradually worse and worse. And I just got to the stage where, as it describes, in the big book, in the doctor's opinion, I became the type of problem eater that was hopeless. Nothing could help me. And I tried lots and lots of things. I tried just about everything that I could think of. Tried new age thing. Tried counselling. Tried whatever you could throw at me. I just tried it all, and nothing actually worked. And by the end of my time in the food, I didn't come into the rooms until I was in my 40s, in my early 40s. And, you know, all through the 30s, you know, my life was just getting worse and worse and worse because I just kept running away from life, hiding in the food and using food to try to deal with life. Except, of course, it was a very, very poor mechanism for dealing with life. And as I just kept running away from life and hiding in the food, you know, life started to get worse because problems just started to pile up on top of each other. You know, I just ended up being morbidly obese. Well, actually, I ended up being obesely overweight. I don't think I ever got to being morbidly obese, actually. I got up to being 105 kilograms. Being obesely overweight. And I just found that life was sort of starting to spiral out of control in all areas because I just wasn't dealing with life. You know, I just hadn't ever grown up to learn how to deal with life. And, you know, I just ended up being depressed. I spent 10 years getting counselling from psychiatrists or psychologists, or as in I did both. I did lots of different, tried both, and neither actually worked. Ended up on antidepressants for 10 years, trying to sort out my head, except, of course, you know, I probably wasn't actually depressed at all. I was actually just an untreated addict. And, you know, in my experience, untreated addiction had all the same symptoms of depression. You know, when I'm living in the food and not treating my addiction, then I just act, I can't help but be depressed, you know, because life just isn't going my way. Life got pretty bad as I just, the older I got, the worse the problems got. Wasn't dealing with any of my problems, just kept running away, hiding in the food. So life just kept getting worse and worse and worse. I just tried everything. I just was searching and searching and searching for lots of solutions, tried lots and lots of different things. I tried kinesiology, I tried acupuncture, tried counselling, of course. Didn't bother with Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig's. I knew that they just knew that they wouldn't work. I already knew what I should and shouldn't be eating. I just couldn't stick to a diet plan. I just did not have the power to stick to a diet plan. I was just hopeless. Finally, I just saw this little ad for Overeaters Anonymous, and I came along to my first meeting, and that's when the second phase of my life started, which was I spent many years in OA, but I wasn't actually in recovery. And I came in, I did actually get abstinent, but I couldn't actually stay abstinent. And I was trying to work the steps, basically the most fundamental step of step one, I had completely missed the key aspects of step one being the surrender. I was still trying to control things myself. And, you know, that really showed up in, you know, my food plan. I just had this crazy, crazy food plan where I said, I'm quite literal here in that, you know, once a week I can have an ice cream. You know, once every 2 weeks I can have some chocolate, and once a month I can have a piece of cake. And I was just trying to eat like normal people, which, you know, again, in the big book it says, you know, that's what drives, you know, alcoholics, you know, to the point of insanity where they try with all their might to just drink like normal drinkers. But, you know, for me, I wanted to eat like normal people eat. But, you know, I can't eat like normal people. I just can't do it. In that second stage where I was in the rooms, but I didn't actually have real recovery, I was trying to control my food myself, which just had completely ignored the whole point of step one. So step one says I'm powerless over food, but here I was thinking, well, actually I can still control my food, which was just totally ridiculous. It took me a year to find a sponsor, which was probably a bit of a hint that maybe the meeting I was going to wasn't a good meeting, that there was no one available to sponsor. But, you know, I kept coming back because I just sort of somehow knew that the solution was in these rooms, and I could just sort of see the recovery, especially in other fellowships. I could see that, you know, they just had that joy and that peace and the serenity had come into their lives. And I just thought, well, it's exactly the same 12 steps. So if they can do it in other fellowships, then I should be able to do it in OA. So I just kept coming back because it just seemed absolutely logical that, you know, the solution was here. And I just was, I guess my arrogance sort of worked in my favour in those days of, well, if it can work for these other people, then I can get it working for me too. So I did just keep coming back. And, you know, the other thing that happened in those days was that I just kept getting sidetracked. I kept cherry picking the things that I really liked to do. You know, and I loved, you know, I loved being in charge and controlling things. So, you know, I loved doing the service job, you know, being the meeting secretary and being the World Service Delegate and, you know, all of those sorts of things where, you know, I'd get my prestige off, you know, doing those sorts of service jobs. But it actually just kept me in the disease. And so I'm very grateful that the service kept me coming back, but it did just keep me in the disease. You know, I did just kept coming back and kept plugging away. And, you know, finally I got to the stage where I was actually just really scared because I actually just kept breaking my abstinence and the weight started to pile back on because I'd lost 40 kilograms and then I regained, you know, something like 9 or 10 kilograms. And that's a lot of weight to regain. I started to get scared and I'd also known that there was a problem with step 2 and step 3. And so just sort of attacking things on multiple fronts, you know, just finally getting scared enough to just get desperate enough to just absolutely surrender and just to give in and actually really get to the core of my being, what step 1 actually meant. And that was the surrender of just letting go of the control, just being this control freak. And that was most evident by actually being willing to just surrender my food plan and stop trying to control my food and just hand it over to my sponsor. And I just said, you know, just tell me what to eat. I don't care. Just tell me what to eat. Just give me a food plan and tell me what to eat. And that was the point that I had to get to of my surrender, of just first steps, surrender my food plan and just eat what I was told to eat and eat the quantities, eat the types of food, eat at the times of day. So just totally surrendering over all aspects of my food plan was the first step. And once I'd sort of got that step one, then, you know, the rest of the steps, so I'd, you know, done the steps sort of in the reverse order, which is not recommended. Well, so I certainly don't recommend that, but I'd sort of done the other steps, you know, so I'd done steps 4 through to 12 before I'd really done step one. But once I'd sort of just given up control and really started to call on a higher power with the guidance of my sponsor, then I could actually start to get some real changes in my recovery and really let go of, you know, the things that were keeping me locked in the disease and the problems that I was still having, you know. So I was still quite fearful and had a lot of resentments, even though I'd been in, you know, OA for many years by this stage. But, yeah, back in 2013 when I got to that, well, I got to that point of surrender quite a few years before that, but I just couldn't actually find a sponsor. I needed to find a sponsor who I could not manipulate, who could see through all the rubbish, because I used my intellect to outsmart people and I could just talk over people and out-talk people. And I needed to find a sponsor that I could not manipulate. And so it took me a little while and I found that sponsor in 2013. And that's when things really started to change and that's when I gave over my food plan. And that's what my life has been like And I totally surrendered over my food plan in 2014. So that's 6.5 years ago. And these days, you know, my life is very, very different. You know, I just have a life that is very, very different. You know, my food, I just...
That's time.
Sure. So I will leave it at that, and I'm very, very grateful that I have this program and that food is in its proper place. Thank you for asking me to share, and